Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Summer is book season, with plenty of media outlets and booksellers presenting lists of the best beach reads. Audiobooks rarely get their day in the sun. The literary staple for commuters, road trippers, and too-busy-to-read readers are a fast-growing industry, with a huge cast of actors, reviewers, producers, and an annual awards gala known as the Audies. Here with a rundown of some of the industry's top picks and her thoughts on what makes a top-notch audiobook is Robin Witten. She's founder and editor of Audiophile magazine, which was launched in 1992 as a resource for librarians and has since reviewed thousands of titles. Robin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello, Virginia.
How is reviewing audiobooks different from reviewing a traditional or an e-book?
Well, one of the big things is that this is a performance we're listening to when we listen to an audiobook. So there's an actor who's been cast to read a book, and there are all the things about performances that can go right or cannot go right, and that really affect our enjoyment of an audiobook.
So could a bad performance turn a great book into a not-so-great audiobook?
Well, yes, we could. There could be a miss, indeed. We hate to see that, and usually the producers and publishers spend a lot of time trying to get it right. But it may not appeal to everyone. But most of the time, we have some pretty sensational performances of the books that are recorded.
Do some genres lend themselves better to being adapted for audio than others?
Well, you know, this is really all about great stories, and so genres like mystery or science fiction, certainly children's books and fiction, are natural for audiobooks. And, you know, the nonfiction history presents different challenges, but it can also be very effective as an audiobook as well. But I think the stories lend themselves the best.
And, of course, the stories with performance. And the publishing industry just held its Oscars, let's call them, for audiobooks, the Audies, on June 5th. Here's just a clip of the winner in these awards in the literary fiction category. Here is the actress Hope Davis. She's reading from Ann Patchett's State of Wonder.
Wouldn't she call you? There has to be some sort of global satellite.
She won't use the phone, or she says it doesn't work there.
As close as they were in this quiet room, she could scarcely hear his voice. But for this? She stopped herself. Where is he now? Morena asked. She could not bring herself to say his body. Anders was not a body.
What makes this performance rise above others, Robin?
Well, I think there's a lot of emotional engagement. When I hear that, you know, we don't really know what the story is when you're dropped in like that, but something about what Hope Davis is doing is bringing you into that story. So you're emotionally engaged in what's going on. You have to listen.
It's also amazing that they have to do so many different voices. I mean, I've listened to some with various different accents and male voices, female. It must be pretty challenging.
It's very challenging. And when you have, you know, three or four people in conversation, all male, you know, some with different accents, maybe they all have, maybe they're all Western sheriffs. And they're having a conversation. This is huge challenges for the narrator.
Another book that got a rave review at Audiophile is Canada by Richard Ford, a novelist I absolutely love, narrated here by Holder Graham. Let's listen.
My mother had shoved over into the driver's seat after my father had parked behind the bank. She pushed the seat far forward so her feet would reach. She was waiting with the engine started when he came out the alley with his canvas bag. He got straight into the back seat, crouched under a blanket, and she pulled slowly away so nothing that had gone on in the bank would seem to have anything to do with a white and red Chevrolet Bel Air with North Dakota plates idling out of town toward the west.
Now, Robin, this is a brand new audiobook, so it was not a contender for this year's Audies, but you gave it a great review. What do you like about it?
Well, you know, I think what I love about this is Holter Graham really gets the pace of this novel down. I mean, you can hear the pace is quite different from the previous clip. And, you know, you want to know what's going on. What's happening here? And this is a young boy, so you get a little sense of that from the narration. It's quite different, but very much, you know, this is what Richard Ford has put into the text and the narrator is bringing to us as a performance.
We're talking about what makes for a great audiobook with Robin Witten. She's founder and editor of Audiophile magazine. And just at the beginning of the month, June 5th, the Audies were awarded, which are sort of like the Oscars for audiobooks. One of the big winners was Tina Fey. In fact, she won, I'm seeing here, two categories for the Book of the Year and also for memoir. This is, she read her own memoir, Bossy Pants. Let's listen to her.
Welcome, friend. Congratulations on your purchase of this American-made genuine audiobook. Each component of this audiobook was selected to provide you with maximum audio performance, whatever your listening needs may be. If you're a woman and you bought this audiobook for practical tips on how to make it in a male-dominated workplace, here they are. No pigtails, no tube tops. Cry sparingly. Some people say, never let them see you cry. I say, if you're so mad you could just cry, then cry. It terrifies everyone.
Tina Fey. Sounding very much like Tina Fey there.
It does.
So it sort of won the best picture, I guess, for audiobooks this year. But she kind of customized it for audio. Is that typical, Robin?
Well, I think it's one of the great things in something like this. That's a, you know, that's a memoir. It's a personal story. And the producers, said go for it because it was customized for the audio listener. And boy, did she do a great job.
So that's her reading her own book, and some of the winners of the audios are the authors themselves. Some are people who make their living doing this. Now, obviously, there's music to be produced, there's production values. Who are the superstars of the audiobook reading world?
Well, in this year, the Audi Awards celebrated many narrators, obviously, but two, the best male and the best female narrator are two big categories. And I think Simon Vance was the narrator who has, that's his career, that's what he does in the acting world. He's an audiobook narrator, was celebrated for two titles, The King's Speech, and also for the Dickens' Nicholas Nickleby.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of revivals of classics, but let's listen to him in The King's Speech. It's just terrific. Simon Vance reading from the book, this year's winner for male performance at the Audies.
Both the coronation itself and the speech to the Empire that evening had been a triumph for the King. A clergyman wrote to the Daily Mail from Manchester to express delight at the sound of the King's voice and the purity of his diction. He continued, with all the depth of his father's voice, there is an additional softness which makes it even more impressive for the listener.
Ah, I'm in love with him already.
And it's interesting when there's a movie to compare.
Yeah.
You know, that's sometimes good, and yet it's also a challenge, certainly, for the narrator, because there were lots of great actors in that movie, but he gets to do all the parts.
Yeah. All right. Of course, there's the subject of Oscar's Best Picture winner for 2010, also The King's Speech, the film. Let's touch on a couple of other audiobook genres, children's books. The Audi winner in that category was Weird Al Yankovic. Let's hear from that.
When I grow up, what am I going to be? That's something I'd really been thinking about, and I just couldn't wait to let all those thoughts out. So when Mrs. Krupp said, "Who's ready to share?" you can guess who was there with his hand in the air. I raised both my hands just as high as they'd go, and I bounced up and down, and then, what do you know?
So it sounds like a natural for Weird Al Yankovic. What makes a great audio children's book?
Well, I think that has a particular style that certainly will engage children because it's wild and crazy. But there's also a lot of, oftentimes for younger children, you get sound effects and other, just a good story again, but engaging and it's a wonderful thing to have a few spare audiobooks for any family travel, whether it's Weird Al or some of the other great audiobooks for children that are celebrated.
Other winners including the dramatic reading of Voices from the Titanic and William Shatner's humor book, Shatner Rules. Also awards for production, a vast industry. Right? But Robin, I do have to ask, are there ever pretty bad books that end up becoming award-worthy audiobooks?
Well, we would hope not. There are some audiobooks that maybe will appeal to some people and not others. I think I'd rather listen to a traditional tale than Weird Al for too long. It's sort of like some of those annoying children's recordings. But, the kids probably play it again and again.
And parents listen along with them. A very diplomatic answer, and I want to thank you, Robin, for your time.
Thank you.
Robin,
great to be here, Virginia.
Robin Witten, founder and editor of Audiophile magazine. Now, there's a link to the magazine's website, which includes reviews and sound from thousands of audiobooks, as well as a list of the winners of the Audies. And there are a zillion categories. It's really pretty fascinating. Whether you listen to audiobooks or not, there's a whole world to discover. Now, while we were prepping for our talk with Robin, we wondered whether we, radio makers, could pass as audiobook producers, maybe even elevating a book of dubious quality by getting just the right people to read it. So we took a dramatic stab at an excerpt from the hottest book around, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Here is NHPR's Sam Evans-Brown and Josh Rogers from the newsroom and senior producer Rebecca Lavoie reading a scene. This is of the series heroine. She's Anastasia Steele, meeting her future paramour for the first time.
Mr. Grey will see you now, Miss Steele. Do go through,
blonde number two says. I stand rather shakily, trying to suppress my nerves. Gathering up my backpack, I abandon my glass of water and make my way to the partially open door.
You don't need to knock. Just go in.
I push open the door and stumble through, tripping over my own feet and falling head first into the office. Double crap. Me and my two left feet. I'm on my hands and knees in the doorway to Mr. Gray's office, and gentle hands are around me, helping me to stand. I'm so embarrassed. Damn my clumsiness. I have to steel myself to glance up. Holy cow, he's so young.
Miss Kavanaugh.
He extends a long-fingered hand to me once I'm upright.
I'm Christian Grey. Are you all right?
Actually...
So young and attractive. Very attractive. He's tall, dressed in a fine gray suit, white shirt, and a black tie with unruly dark copper-colored hair and intense, bright gray eyes that regard me shrewdly. It takes a moment for me to find my voice.
Miss Kavanaugh is indisposed, so she sent me. I hope you don't mind, Mr. Grey.
And you are?
His voice is warm, possibly amused, but it's difficult to tell from his impassive expression. He looks mildly interested, but above all, polite.
Anastasia Steele. I'm studying English literature with Kate, Catherine, Miss Kavanaugh at WSU Vancouver.
I see,
he says simply. I think I see a ghost of a smile in his expression, but I'm not sure.
Would you like to sit?
He waves me toward an L-shaped white leather couch. His office is way too big for just one man. In front of the floor-to-ceiling windows, there's a modern dark wood desk that six people could comfortably eat around. Everything else is white, except for the wall by the door, where a mosaic of small paintings hang. They're exquisite.
A local artist, Trutone,
says Gray as he catches my gaze.
They're lovely, raising the ordinary to extraordinary.
I couldn't agree more, Miss Steele,
he replies, his voice soft, and for some inexplicable reason, I find myself blushing.
The somewhat unsaucy excerpt from the mega-selling 50 Shades of Grey, acted out by NHPR's Rebecca Lavoie and Sam Evans-Brown, with Josh Rogers making a cameo as Christian Grey. So what's the expression, can't make a silk purse out of a cow's ear? Well, they gave it their all. Coming up, we're going to meet some of the people who determine the trends of the future when Word of Mouth continues. Written.